All right. Some are really well armed. I want you to make your way, if you would, to John's Gospel, chapter 3. I shared last week a message I titled, The Unwelcome Light. And this week, I'm going to share a message I've titled, The Unwelcome Light, part 2. That's all right, you know. Sometimes that's the way. Sometimes I'm preaching one message and the Lord gives me another one. So here we go. We're in John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 19. Coming right on the heels of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 19 says, this is the condemnation. The condemnation. This is the judgment. This is the divine verdict that it sentences the lost. This is the reason for the world's condemnation. What is it? That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil, this is in a continuous sense, those who practice lives of evil doing, lost people, sinners, like we all were, those that do evil hate the light. Very strong word. Hate the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, exposed, disclosed, revealed. But he that doeth truth. Now again, this is those who continually, who practice truth, who love truth, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Well, this was the text that I shared last week. It's my text again today. I want you to imagine, if you would, a world that is completely covered, completely encapsulated in darkness. Just an entire dark world where everything and everyone is a shade of black or gray, dark gray. It's a shadow world. And that all of humanity, every living thing, every living creature lives, is held captive, as it were, in a world without light. Some years ago, my wife and I took a trip to Kentucky, and we visited Mammoth Cave National Park. Any of you ever been there? All right. Look, oh, a bunch of y'all have been to Mammoth Cave National Park. It's a huge park. It's 50-something thousand acres. Mammoth Cave is the world's largest cave system. There's no cave system in the world larger than Mammoth Cave. It has these deep, deep underground rivers and lakes in the cave. Rivers, lakes, where it's eternally dark. Light never ever penetrates down there in this place. And what's really interesting and unique about Mammoth Cave is that there are two species of fish that live there in the darkness. They're hatched in darkness. They live their whole lives in perpetual darkness. They eat in darkness. they manage to reproduce somehow in darkness. And I guess you'd say what's really unique about them is that they have no eyes. They are born, they live, they grow eyeless. They actually have no eyes. They are an eyeless fish. And there are other fish like them in other parts of the world. There's some like that in Mexico and China, East Africa, Australia. You know, there are other species of eyeless fish that live deep, deep in the dark rivers and caves of the world. No eyes. Now, the evolutionist will say, this is proof of evolution because, you know, the eyes just vanished because, you know, they evolved this way and so forth. But I would say, well, how do you know God didn't just make them that way? They didn't need eyes living in the darkness, so he just made them like that. I mean, it's like there's a reason why big old fur-covered blubbery mammals don't live right here in Lake Pontchartrain because they wouldn't survive. But you know, God made them for certain habitations where it's super cold. Yeah. Anyway, so they didn't need eyes, so God didn't give them any. That's my thinking on it. But if you think about this, these creatures are trapped forever in a world of perpetual darkness, and they never see because light never penetrates those dark caves. Of course, nowadays people go down there with lights and flashlights and stuff, but even if light came, they couldn't see it. They have no eyes. So you know what that means? They have no choice in the matter. Now I'm going to use these blind, eyeless cave fish sort of as an illustration or an example to talk about how lost people are a whole lot like that. Amen. In many ways. We were like that in a whole lot of ways. You know, but here's the difference. These cave fish, they have no eyes. They have no choice, even if light comes. They are eyeless. They cannot see. Unlike lost people who have eyes, and yet the Bible says, seeing they see not, hearing they hear not. You know, they have eyes, but they refuse to see. Just like we read right here, light is coming to the world, and men loved darkness. They love the darkness. They don't welcome the light. They don't invite the light. They're not interested in the light. Amen. I think that's characteristic of the lost world pretty much as a whole, and it was once characteristic of us. Yeah. Yeah. But, kind of like the song we sang this morning, God showed us the light. And we don't know, I think sometimes we don't appreciate just how blessed and privileged we are that the light turned on and you saw it. Amen. You saw him. You saw the light. That's something to sing about. I saw the light. Amen. So I don't walk in darkness and I don't walk in the night because the light came on and God privileged me. Thank you, Lord. With the ability to see it. Because you know, there are people who heard the same message you heard, and the light never came on in their heart. Or if it began to come on, they closed it off because they don't want to see. Like verse 19, they hated the light. They hated it. Very, very strong response. Don't want anything to do with the light. And the Bible says, of course, Jesus is the light. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me does not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light that gives life, the light that shows us how to live
John 8:12, what a wonderful verse. The one who follows Christ. Now that's what it takes, you know. Not just believing in Christ or believing in God. You want to remember, the devil believes in God. Does the devil believe in Christ? Of course, the demons shouted, "We know who you are, the Holy One of God. We know who you are." The demons know about Christ. They believe in Christ. They don't follow Christ. They don't obey Christ. They don't love Christ. So our faith is no better than a demon's if our faith in Christ doesn't lead us to obedience to Christ, surrendering to Christ, following Christ. Y'all awake? He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. We must not walk in darkness, the darkness of this world. But we have the light of life. In fact, you know, that Bible in your lap is the light. It shows you how to live. And it speaks to you when you open it. It'll speak to your heart all the time. When you think about it, the light illuminates our minds, our hearts, our path. It tells us what we should believe. It tells us how we should think. Amen. It tells us how we should speak, how we should treat others. It tells us what we should value. You're right. You know how blind we were. We were so blind, we didn't even know what was valuable. Amen. We didn't know. We didn't know what to value. We attached value to things that are worthless in the sight of eternity. We attached great love and affection for things that don't love us back. I tell boaters, I tell them this frequently. Especially when I see people doing foolish things on the water, I'll tell them, look, you can love the water. It don't love you. You can love that Gulf of Mexico. It don't love you. It'll kill you. If you are not wise, it will kill you. Well, you know, you can love things, and people do. That's why the Bible tells us, do not love this world, neither the things that are in the world. So things, but people will spend their whole life just loving things. Their whole life revolves around accumulating things. You can have the finest house in the neighborhood, the finest, with all the finest furnishings and rugs and tapestries, and you can have the finest of the fine. You can love it. It don't love you. Doesn't love you at all. Amen. If he gets a chance, that ceiling's going to leak. Yes. That plumbing's going to break.
That's right.
Something's going to pop. Something's going to break down. It don't love you.
You're right. Amen.
It's the same way with everything else.
Yeah.
That's why the Bible tells us, don't hoard up for yourselves treasures in this world. Amen. Where rust corrupts and thieves break through and steal. No. Our treasures are not earthly treasures. We learned what's valuable when we got saved and when the light came on. We learned what's valuable. And you know, one of the things that we all must learn to value, first and foremost, our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who died for our sins, who paid the penalty for our guilt and shame, set us free from condemnation, so that we have eternal life. Would you have thought when you were wandering around in the darkness of your lost world condition that a personal relationship with Christ was really the most valuable thing on earth? Who would have thought that going to church and fellowshipping with brothers and sisters in Christ was valuable? And precious.
Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
No, you know what we thought? It was a chore.
Yes.
Oh, no, church. Oh, we have some kind of obligation to go to church. How long is this going to take? Oh, man. man, it's so boring. It's so, I mean, what is it all about anyway? No, we spent our lives pursuing selfish wants, pleasures, things. We didn't even value people like we should have. If we were honest, we loved ourselves and lived to please ourselves. It was all about what I want, my desires, not what was important to others. So perhaps we didn't value them like we should. I know one thing. I loved my wife before I got saved. But when I got saved, I realized what a blessing God had given me. And the same thing with our children. You know, people, there's a lot of people today who look at children like they're a burden. That's a burden. That's a chore. I wish I would have never had them. You know, we have heard of parents who actually tell their children that. I wish I'd have never had you. They're lost. They're blind. They're blind. They're living in a world of darkness and do not realize what is valuable and what is precious. What's valuable to them? Well, my me time. My things, myself. That's exactly right, brother. Myself. And all the things that they love and crave, they do not satisfy. And they never can satisfy because they're just things. That's why the Lord tells us, don't love things. Amen. Don't let things capture your affection. Things are for our use. You can have them. You can use them. Don't love them.
Amen.
If you love them, you're going to hold on to them.
Right.
And if you're holding on to them, it's going to hurt a lot more when God takes them away from you.
Yeah.
In floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, bankruptcies, or whatever. What's precious is the Lord Jesus Christ, your relationship with Him, and those that you love, those around you. It's a horrible, terrible thing to see rich people die. Because so many of them are lost. They've spent their life accumulating great wealth and great treasure, and when they die, they leave it all behind. Whereas the believer, he lays up his treasures, or she lays up her treasures in heaven. So when they die, they go to their treasure. The wicked die, they leave their treasure behind. The righteous die, they go to their treasure.
Thank you.
I want you to think about something else. This is what I was thinking about just this past week. These eyeless fish that live in perpetual darkness, they're a lot like lost people, you know, in a lot of ways. Think about it. What do they eat? They don't have any eyes. How do they know what to eat? How do they know what's good and what's garbage? Well, I actually looked it up to see, what do those things eat? And the dictionary said they are omnivorous. Omnivorous. It's from omni, meaning all. You know, something carnivorous, I guess, eats meat. Herbivorous eats herbs. Omni, that's what it means. It means all. It's a Latin word. So, you know, we talk about God being omnipotent. He is all potent. He has all power, omnipotent or omniscient. He has all knowledge. Well, these fish are omnivorous, which means they eat anything. They eat absolutely anything. Whatever they come across, they will eat it. They will eat it. Without any discernment whatsoever, where it's going to help them, hurt them, whatever, they'll eat garbage.
They eat sewage. They eat refuge. They eat indiscriminate. It doesn't matter. Dead things, live things, whatever they can eat, they'll eat it. I thought that's a lot like lost people. They'll swallow anything. They really do. They'll swallow anything. They're spiritually blind, so they're indiscriminate in what they swallow, what they subscribe to, theories that they adapt, just as long as it's not the truth. The truth they hate. But any other kind of garbage that comes along, they'll subscribe to it. Get me a subscription to that. I was just reading last week about people who don't believe the sun in the sky is real. It's not real. The government did that. Government put that up there. Don't get off on conspiracy theories. If you start looking those things up, it's an endless hole. It just sucks you into what people believe. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do it. There are people, I'm sorry, what? The earth is flat. Yeah, that's flat earthers right within Christianity. There are people who believe, listen to this, that you can change your gender. That a boy can become a girl if he wants to. All you need is a little surgery and some hormones. Boy becomes a girl. Only the blind would believe that. Only the blind, because you can't change your DNA. DNA, that's what you are, who you are. It can't be changed. So you can be a boy who pretends they're a girl. You can pretend, but you're never going to be a girl. And a girl who wants to pretend to be a boy, you're never going to be a boy. Pretend all you want, but you'll never, ever be a male. Isn't it sad that this blindness has settled over the community? And now it's so pervasive, you have doctors and psychiatrists and so forth who will endorse the idiocy, knowing full well that DNA can't be changed. But they go along with the program because you lose your job if you don't. It's one thing for the fish. They blind. They don't know any better. They eat anything. They swallow anything. But people who swallow insane thoughts, beliefs, practices, they have eyes to see but choose not to. The poor fish, they have no eyes. But sin darkened humanity has been given eyes. In fact, the Bible says light has come into the world, but men love darkness. They're unwilling to see, unwilling. I'm going to read a couple verses to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Here's what Paul the Apostle writes. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan has blinded their minds, blinded their eyes, so that they do not see. And you know, the devil wants to keep people blind. So he works overtime to do that. This light of Christ that brings life and liberty and love and joy, well, Satan wants to keep people blind and bound and broken and bothered by everything. Just keep them in the dark, believing anything, swallowing anything indiscriminately, eating garbage, eating refuse.
Yes.
That's what lost humanity does. The things that they will do to themselves, the things they will subject themselves to. Actually, it's anything this world offers. The sins of the world, they devour it. The drugs, the addictions, the alcohol, they'll devour it. Any kind of addictive behavior. Diane and I go by the lake all the time. We take the dog back there. He loves to ride in the car. Stick his big head out the window. You know. So we pass by the casino all the time. I hold Diane back. Don't worry. I have one leash on the dog and the other one on the... Oh, that's not true. I don't... But we always marvel at how full the parking lot is over there. You know, it's this particular weekend we passed by that way. I mean, packed on both sides of the road, and you think about all the people in there just putting all their money, throwing their money away. What a fool's game to think you're going to beat the house. Yeah, you're going to beat the house. The odds against you are 10 bazillion to 1. Oh, I won $100. How much did you lose? $100,000. Yeah. But I won $100. I told you all the Mickey Rooney story, huh? He was on Johnny Carson one night. He was a notorious gambler. And Johnny Carson, he had to ask him, Mickey, is it true that you lost? I don't remember now if it's 2 million, 3 million, 5 million, 8 million. I don't remember, but it was enormous amount of money, especially way back then. He said, yep, it's all true. And he said, why? Why did you keep throwing money away like this, betting the horses at the casino in Vegas and all that? He said, well, I'm going to tell you. When I was a kid, I lost $2 in a horse race. And I spent millions trying to win it back. Yeah. And that's exactly what people do. We knew a lady down in Chalmette, inherited, her dad left a bit of a fortune, left a property, rental property, a whole bunch of double houses. I mean, she could have lived her whole life just renting those properties. Could have lived well, but she had a gambling habit. And she gambled them all away, every bit of it. She lost it all. But that's what people do. They're blind, they're oblivious. These addictions, these demons get a hold of them and drive them into crazy. They do things without discernment, without thinking about consequences. And the things people swallow, you know, you're taught evolution in school, and they can make it sound like it makes sense. It makes sense. Until you really look into how it all came about, and you see the utter impossibility of it. The utter, absolute impossibility that something evolved from nothing and then came to be everything. And it's utterly, absolutely, ridiculously impossible. And yet people choose to believe it because that way they don't have to believe in God. It's the theory of evolution was actually invented so that people didn't have to believe in a God who created it all. If you look at everything exactly the way it is, you can come to no other conclusion but that God made it. Amen. This way.
Thank you,
sun, moon, stars, earth rotating on its axis, revolving around the sun every 365 days, everything in absolute perfect precision.
Yes.
The tilt of the earth, the atmosphere around it, the air that we breathe, the living trees, plants, grasses, everything doing what it does, the insects, the birds,
yes,
the fish, All of them perfectly designed. Perfectly designed. You don't see anything in this world that's half reptile, half bird, that's evolving into something else. Why is it that? And they know it. The evolutionists know it. The Darwinian evolutionists are abandoning that theory like crazy because they realize it's impossible.
Right.
It's absolutely impossible for it to have happened the way Darwin described it. So then they have to come up with alternate theories.
Yeah.
Alternate theories, you know, I don't know, Big Bang is probably an alternate theory, and then they have this accelerated evolution where all of a sudden a bird, poof, now it's a mammal. Just, it just happened. It just, the bird exploded and became a mammal. Yeah, something like that. So they come up with other theories. Well, aliens from other planets must have seeded the earth way back to make things, you know, the way. Yeah, the aliens did it. Anything but God. Because they hate the light. They hate the light. Well, and then you see our nation and really our world has swallowed the lie. You know, the Bible teaches that sexual intimacy is supposed to be reserved for a man and a woman, not only who are attracted to each other, but who marry each other. They are married. Sexual intimacy is reserved for married people. This is the way God designed it to be. A man leaves his father, leaves his mother, cleaves to his wife, and the two become one flesh. The husband, the wife become one. Our society long ago abandoned God's light and decided that, you know, if this guy looks at me twice, we're going to have intimacy. Or if they go out on a date with me and they buy me dinner, I'm obligated to have intimacy with them. You know, this society is fornicating its way to hell. According to the Bible, fornicators do not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So this we must remind ourselves, and this we must instill in our children. You will fornicate your way into hell. But you see, we live for pleasure. We live for me. We live for my selfish desires. We live to gratify myself instead of living to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the problem. People are not surrendered to Christ. And if you tell them that, they'll think you're nuts.
Yeah, that's right.
The blind cavefish, they're blind. They can't help it. But you and I, the light has come into the world. You and I have no excuse. Light has come into the world. This is the condemnation. Light has come into the world. What are you doing with the light? Light has come into the world. What's the condemnation? Men love darkness instead. They chose the darkness. They chose their own way. They chose the sin, self-gratification, self-indulgence.
Amen.
There are many sober warnings in the Bible about fornication. One of the ones that comes to mind is Proverbs chapter 7, where God is warning young men about the way of the adulterous woman, or, you know, don't fall into fornication. Hearken to me now, O children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Proverbs 7, 24, 25, 26, 27. Let not thine heart decline to her ways.
Amen.
Do not go astray in her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. The way of the fornicator. Her house is the way to hell. That's some strong language. Her house is the way to hell. In Proverbs 7, verse 22, the Bible
picks up that theme again and says, it talks about the foolish man following after this woman because she's very seductive and she's enticing him. So the Bible says, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. Well, you know, you and I are supposed to live by a different, we live by a different standard. Proverbs 6:32, whosoever commits adultery with a woman or a man lacks understanding, they lack light. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 5, Revelation 21, 8, no fornicator will have a part in the kingdom of heaven. Now, the Bible also tells us, such were some of you. Such were, past tense. You used to live that way. You lived in the dark. You were blind. You didn't know. The things, Paul said, the things I did in ignorance, you know, before I got saved. And that's the way many of us were, in ignorance. But now, you've seen the light. You are no longer a child of darkness. You don't live in the darkness. You live in the light. You walk in the light. Which means walking in obedience to the Lord. There are many passages in the Bible that speak of a coming time of great darkness upon the earth. I believe it'll be a great time of physical darkness, but also a great time of spiritual darkness. Isaiah 60 and verse 2 says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. Speaks of a future time. Darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness, like an impenetrable darkness, the people, encapsulate the people. Now we know there is a plague of darkness, spiritual darkness in our world right now. Look, there was a darkness as a plague that came upon Egypt. Remember with Moses, and he brought darkness upon the earth. Exodus says it was a darkness that could be felt. It was a darkness unlike anything any human had ever experienced before. A darkness so thick, so impenetrable that the lights of the Egyptians would not penetrate the darkness. So thick it could be felt. Wow. That's a judgment of darkness. We also know that in the future, in Revelation chapter 16, the Bible says a judgment of darkness is going to come upon the earth. It's going to come upon the kingdom of the Antichrist. Revelation 16. There's going to be vile judgments, bold judgments. One of the judgments will be horrible, hideous sores on all the people. It'll just come upon all the people, like the plagues of Egypt. Well, these sores will cause pain that's intolerable. And then the sun, the Bible says, will scorch the earth. The sun is going to become increasingly hot and scorch the earth. Now, you ever had a severe sunburn? Well, this will be sunburn like no human being has ever experienced before, because it's going to be a supernatural judgment where the sun scorches everything, and people are going to want the sun to go away, so God will turn off the sun and send again this darkness that covers the entire kingdom of Antichrist. And this darkness will be impenetrable. And not only is it going to be dark, but men are going to weep in pain because of the sores on their body and because of the horrible sunburn that has probably burned half their flesh off. When God gets angry, he pours out wrath. And wrath is going to come upon a world that refuses the light of Christ. The light has come. The light has come. And men chose to ignore it. Men chose, I'm not ready for that. And in their spiritual darkness, I think people have demonic hallucinations because they begin to see things that only the devil could inspire. In a time of great spiritual darkness, Isaiah said, there's going to be a day when people will look at evil things and say, that's good. And they'll look at good things and say, that's evil. Isaiah 5 and verse 20, woe to them that call evil good and good evil. The time is here. The time is here where good is called evil and evil is called good. Now, only the devil can blind men's eyes so powerfully that they look at evil and consider it good. So that now it's a great pride to be homosexual. And our country devotes a month to celebrate homosexuality. Even Sodom didn't have a pride month that we know of. They just, that was just the way people lived because they were blind. And God judged them for their fornication, their sexual sin, and like old Leonard Ravenhill said, Sodom didn't even have a Bible. Sodom had no Bible. God judged them anyway because morality is God's morality. God demands morality in every nation, every society, every age, every generation. God demands morality. Morality doesn't change by culture. Sodom wasn't a Jewish city. They weren't Jews. They weren't a Christian city. They were a pagan city. And God judged them for their immorality. And God will judge our world for its immorality. He will judge those who refuse the light of Christ. There's one light. There's only one. And his name is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the light of the world. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. It's time to surrender every other thing and follow Christ. With all of our hearts. And obey him. They call evil good. I've got a great idea. Let's slaughter the most innocent of all creatures, the unborn children. Let's just go into mama's wombs and rip them out and shred them. Let's put them in a blender and just blend them to a bloody pulp, and we'll pour the pulp into a barrel and carry it off to a waste fill. That's a good thing. We'll slaughter the unborn, the most innocent of all. Let's slaughter them, and we're going to call it freedom to choose. We're going to call it choice. Sounds good. We'll call it women's rights. We'll call it health care. God calls it an abomination. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. In fact, he says, these six things do the Lord hate, Proverbs 16. These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. What blood is more innocent than an unborn child? I mean, that's innocence right there. They haven't even been born. Let's take away their choice because mamas don't want to be burdened. And daddies make babies but don't raise them, don't support them, don't care about them. This is a broken, blind world. It's time for fathers to be fathers, mothers to be mothers. It's time for us to be godly men and godly women. It's time for us to walk in the light and come out of the darkness. I mean, Satan has blinded the minds of them that believe not the gospel. He has blinded their minds. And I got one other thing I want to mention. These blind cave fish, they have no awareness of their condition. In other words, they don't know that they're blind. They were always blind. Their mama was blind. Their daddy was blind. Their great-grandpa was blind. They never saw anything in their life. They don't know they're blind. They're unaware of their blindness, just like lost people. Just like lost people.
Amen.
The blind cave fish, they don't know that they're eating sewage. They don't know that they're eating raw sewage. They just indiscriminate in what they eat. Just like the blind people who are spiritually blind, they don't know what they're consuming. They don't know.
Amen.
I can't help but think about people who stick these needles in their arms and take these pills they buy off the street. They don't know what they're putting in their body. They don't know what they're taking. But not only that, anybody who indulges in sin, they don't realize what they're doing or how they're destroying themselves. For the blind cave fish, eating sewage is normal. And for lost humanity, living in the filth of this world is normal because everybody does it.
That's true. Amen.
They don't realize their own spiritual poverty. It's what the Lord told the church in Laodicea. You say you're rich, increased with goods, in need of nothing. You don't know that you're wretched, poor, miserable, and blind and naked. You don't even know. You're oblivious to your spiritual condition. How do you not know? Well, when you refuse the light. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
Amen.
Well, the light of Christ exposes all the darkness in our world. The question we have to ask ourselves is, what have we done with it? Are we walking in it? Are we appreciative that the Lord has opened our eyes and given us light? We are a privileged people. You've been shown the light. Here, let me just give you a couple real quick verses. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the darkness. We are not of the night.
Hallelujah.
Ephesians 5:8. For you were sometime darkness. That was in your past. You lived in the darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation.
A royal
priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his glorious light. He's called you into the light. Are you following the light? He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12. Are you walking in the light? Because I got one last thing. I'm quitting with this. Those who love the darkness, those who die in darkness, will be condemned forever into eternal darkness. Because that's what the Bible says hell will be like. You won't be playing cards there with your buddies. Won't be drinking beer there with your buddies. Hell is a place of endless, perpetual darkness and isolation. I don't know that you'll ever see a living thing in hell, because the Bible describes it as a place of outer darkness. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, Jesus said. The Bible speaks of hell as a place of undescribable darkness.
Amen.
2 Peter 2 and verse 17 speaks about the wicked teachers and preachers. He said, they're wells without water, they're clouds carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever.
Amen.
They have a reservation in darkness. You have a reservation in heaven. Okay, I'm gonna have to quit. I'm out of voice. Excuse me.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. Jesus said the weeping, that is the darkness of hell,
will be accompanied by weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we pray this morning, and we give thanks for the light that you shined into our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for the light of Christ, the light that brought us to salvation and faith. We thank you, Lord, that you turned on the light in our own hearts. For, Lord, we were walking in darkness. We were lost. We had lost our way. And Lord, you shine the light and led us out of darkness. We give you thanks for it, Lord, this unspeakable gift of salvation, of eternal life, of the Holy Spirit who leads and guides, and this precious word that you give us to live by. We thank you, Lord, that you've changed our hearts, that you've replaced the emptiness with fullness, the fullness of your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you exchanged the vanity, the vain pursuits of our life with Lord, such contentment and fulfillment in knowing you and serving you. Lord, we would have never thought that just serving you and living for you would have brought so much joy. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the privilege of fellowship with your people, knowing one another, loving one another, appreciating one another, praying for one another. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of brothers and sisters in Christ, that you've made us one big family, Lord, regardless of ethnicity, language, skin color, background. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for these precious precious gifts. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation and eternal life and the peace that you bring to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to walk in the light, to love the light, to embrace it completely and fully, to surrender to the light of your word, the light of truth, the light of life. We pray it in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, we are